In this video, we're going to take this 20-foot trailer and turn it into a tiny home. So stay tuned, because we're going to be doing framing, roofing, installing windows, siding, and a bunch of other stuff. After buying the trailer and getting it home, it was time to start the build. The trailer came with these pressure-treated 2x8 boards that we need to remove so we can access the bottom in order to insulate. These boards are 20 feet long by 8 inches wide, and they're pressure treated, so we're going to put them to the side and reuse them later on in this video, because it's going to save us a pretty penny. And speaking of money, I'll let you guys know exactly how much we spent on this entire build at the end of this video. Now that the boards are removed, it's time to insulate. In order for the insulation not to fall through, we need to put down a floor that can hold it up. So we picked up these PVC trim pieces that we're going to drill into the frame, which will hold up the boards that the insulation will sit on top of. We pre-drilled and used self-tapping screws to secure the L brackets to the frame. And what's nice about using these instead of metal is that they're a lot cheaper and they won't rust. Since this tiny home needs a vapor barrier and a floor to hold up the insulation, we're going to kill two birds with one stone by installing these OSB boards to have a built-in vapor barrier. We cut the boards to size, then fit them into the trailer frame with the vapor barrier facing down, then repeated the same process over and over until all the boards were installed. Once the boards were installed, we used some of the spray foam to fill in all the gaps and cracks to help keep air and moisture out of the subfloor. We let the spray foam sit for a couple hours so it can harden, then it was time to insulate. For the insulation, we're using some of this R13 mineral wool. I know it isn't an R40, but it doesn't snow where we live and barely gets above freezing temperatures, so it should be enough to keep the floor from freezing up. Once the insulation was installed, we cut down these 2x4s that we're going to self-tap into the frame to hold up our subfloor. To secure the 2x4s to the frame, we use wood to metal self-tapping screws from Tex. These are pretty pricey, but they're well worth the money, especially when you're tapping into a thick metal frame like this. And it says that you don't need a pre-drill on the package, but I did just to make sure everything goes nice and smooth and I don't strip anything. Once all the insulation and 2x4s were installed, it was time to lay the subfloor. I first laid a bead of construction adhesive on all the 2x4s, then laid the 3/4 inch OSB on top of it, pre-drilled, then screwed it in. I used the same self-tapping screws on the border of the trailer since it's made out of metal, and I only installed 2 screws in each board while I was installing them, just in case I need to shift them around a little bit before I fully screw them in. I then repeated the same process over and over until all the panels were installed. Once all the panels were locked into place, I ran a string where all the 2x4s are underneath so I know exactly where to screw. I then secured the subfloor into the 2x4s with 1.5 inch decking screws. I spaced them apart every 10 inches or so and went through about 75 screws. But then just like that, the subfloor to this tiny home was installed. Now that the subfloor is installed, it's time to start framing. Since the span of this tiny home is so long, we're constructing the walls in smaller sections, so they're more manageable to move around. I'm starting by cutting all my 2x4s to the correct length, then marking 16 on center on my bottom plate, which is made out of pressure treated wood, just to protect them from water damage, just in case there's a big leak in the future, because the entire house does sit on top of these pieces of wood, and they'll be really difficult to remove. We secured all the 2x4s using 3-inch framing nails, then came back around with exterior grade screws to help tighten up the frame while the nails will allow the whole frame to flex. I believe that using nails and screws when doing framing allow the structure to be much more rigid, which will make it last a lot longer in my opinion. And I know it's more expensive to do it this way, but why not try to make the things you build last as long as possible? We installed 2x6s above the door and window openings to help transfer the load. And for the window openings, we left a 1/4-inch gap on each side to allow us to shim them properly. And for the door opening, we left an extra 2.5 inches at the top and bottom and 2 extra inches on the sides. So far in the build, we've spent $7,000 on the trailer, $510 on the subfloor, $600 for all the framing materials, and $112 for the screws, bringing the total to $8,222 so far in this build. This is a great start so far, but we still have a lot of things to buy, and our goal is to stay under $25,000 for this build, so we'll see what happens throughout the rest of the video. But then, just like that, all the walls were all framed out. Now that the walls are all framed out, it's time to install them onto the subfloor. And since the walls are pretty heavy, we had some of our neighbors come over and help us out. This is Dale and Kathy, and they're freaking amazing, so shout out to them. We added a bead of construction adhesive on the bottom of each wall, then set them into place and screwed them in using 4-inch wood to metal self-tapping screws. To hold up the walls temporarily, we screwed on a 2x4 that was connected to the ground, then continued on to put the rest of the walls into place, and I was super nervous because if my measurements were off by just 1/4 inch, the walls won't fit right and I'll have to take them back down and adjust them, which would be a complete pain in the ass to do. But thankfully, everything was going nice and smooth and we got all the walls up in less than an hour, and this thing was legitimately starting to look like a tiny home. Once all the walls were up and we knew they were in the right spot, we went ahead and used the level and started screwing them together. Some of the 2x4s were warped, so I used a screw and hammer to straighten some of them out. Then went around the tiny home again and put a bunch of nails into it. To secure the walls to the subfloor, we self-tapped these 4-inch screws every 12 inches. And to make sure these walls never come off the trailer, we picked up these 9.5-inch carriage bolts that'll go through the walls, subfloor, and the frame, and securing it in with washers, lock washers, Loctite, and a nut. I torqued them down and installed 3 of them on each side. But then just like that, all the framed walls were up and secured onto the subfloor. Now that the walls are up, we're installing a double top plate and overlapping the seams to help make this building more rigid. It's finally time to reuse those 2x8 boards that we took off the trailer earlier, but first we need to rip them down to 5.5 inches because they're going to work as a framing to our loft. We're installing them at 6 feet 3 inches off the subfloor to allow the loft to be just over 4 feet. We decided to install the loft first because it'll give us something to stand on top of when we're installing our rafters, and it'll make the building a lot more rigid. Once all the boards were up, we added a joist hanger to each one. Then just like that, the loft was installed. The next step was to install our ridge beam. We're using a 22-foot LVL beam that'll span the entire length of the tiny home. It's a board that's specially made to hold up your roof, and to install it we had to make these jigs that can temporarily hold them up while we install our rafters. And this here is Bill, another neighbor that decided to come by to help us out with this project. He's got a bunch of knowledge on how to build all kinds of stuff, and we had a blast working together. So shout out to Bill. Once we had our jigs up and our ridge beam cut to exactly 22 feet, it was time to install it. We carefully brought it into the tiny home and set it into the jigs that we made earlier. But then just like that, the ridge beam was installed and ready for rafters. We spent about an hour calculating the pitch of our roof and what angles we're going to cut our rafters at. Once we had all of our measurements figured out, we made a test piece to make sure it fits properly, then traced it onto our 2x6s and cut all of our rafters out. Before installing the rafters, we added a joist hanger every 24 in center. And we're not doing every 16 in center because we're going to be installing a metal roof and there's going to be a bunch of 2x4s going horizontally on it, which will make it a lot more rigid, so doing 24 in center is just fine. For the backside of the tiny home, we're going to be installing 2x4s instead of 2x6s for the rafters because this is going to be above the loft and it'll give you a little bit more headroom and we need every inch we can get. Once all the rafters were installed, we removed the temporary brackets that were holding up the ridge beam, then added more supports on both sides to help hold up the ridge beam. On the backside, we just ripped down a couple of 2x4s, then screwed them in and they fit really nicely. And on the front side, the ridge beam is a little taller, so I came up with this contraption. I got it to fit nice and snug and it transfers the load all the way down, which is exactly what we want. I nailed it into place, then added some 2x4s to make sure the interior walls have something to screw to. And while I did that, Bill added 2 nails to each rafter and a joist hanger. But then all the rafters and joist hangers were all installed. Now that all the rafters and joist hangers are installed, it's time to hang some fascia boards. We cut a notch into each rafter before installing the fascia boards, because the rafters cut at this angle are bigger than the fascia boards themselves, and we don't want that. These are just regular 2x6s that we're nailing onto each rafter. We're overhanging them off the front side of the house because we're going to connect them to the ridge beam, allowing the front side of this house to have a soffit. And man, I'll tell you, at this point, the house was coming out so nicely. We had spent $320 on the ridge beam, $62 on joist hangers, and $544 on some more 2x4s and 2x6s, bringing the total to $9,148 so far in this build. Which isn't super bad seeing how many things we've got done, but we need to make another run to the store soon, so I'll update you on the price once we do so. But then just like that, the entire roof was all framed out. Now that the roof framing is all finished up, it's time to install a bunch of 2x4s onto our rafters because that's what we're going to screw our metal roof to. I'm spreading them out every 12 inches and putting 2 nails into each rafter. This will ensure that I have a bunch of different mounting points when I screw in my metal roof, especially since I plan on driving this thing to a property that we plan to park it at, and I don't want my metal roof flying off while we're on the interstate. Speaking of property, we plan to park this tiny home and a bunch of others that we plan on building so we can make a tiny home community where we can rent them out and make a little bit of extra money. Before YouTube, I didn't really know where my life was headed and I was always trying to make some extra money by starting some type of a business. But making these YouTube videos and building tiny homes is such a passion and it makes it feel like my life has some type of a purpose, which is why we've decided to build a tiny home community where all of our subscribers can come stay in the tiny homes they've watched us build. Now that the 2x4s are installed onto the roof, it's time to sheathe the outside of this tiny home. We're using engineered half-inch OSB, adding a couple of screws and these H-clips to keep them separated, just in case they expand and contract. We're making sure each panel breaks in the middle of a stud, and we're staggering all the boards to make the structure as rigid as possible. Each panel cost us $15, and we needed 17 of them, bringing the total to $9,403 so far in this build. We're only adding a couple screws into each board just to hold them into place, because we're going to be coming back later on with 2-inch nails to secure the sheathing onto each stud to make sure this tiny home is as rigid as possible. For the big windows, we traced them out onto the boards before installing them, because it makes life a whole lot easier when it's time to cut out the windows. But then we repeated the same process over and over until all the sheathing was installed. Once all the sheathing was installed, we ran a chalk line every 16 inches, then added 2-inch nails every 10 inches or so. For the smaller windows, we drilled 4 holes in each corner so we know where to cut, then came around with the skill saw and cut out all the holes. But then just like that, all the sheathing was all installed. Now that the sheathing is installed, it's time to add some house wrap. I picked up a 12-foot roll that can do up to 150 feet, then hammered on these nails that are specially made to hold it up. This was a process to do, but we did it in no time thanks to the help of Bill and my wife. The purpose of this house wrap is to work as a moisture barrier in between the house and the outside. It took us about 2 hours to install, and if you plan on doing this yourself, I recommend you to get some help because it makes life a whole lot easier when you have an extra hand. Now that the house wrap is all finished up, it's time to install the windows. I cut the bottom of the house wrap to be able to overlap onto the window opening, then slit the top and flapped it up while I installed the window. I then added some flashing tape on the inside of the window opening and came up about 6 inches on both sides. I then put another piece of flashing tape on the front side with half going into the window opening and the other half onto the sheathing. I slit a 45 degree cut on both sides, then flapped it into the window opening. I then cut one of these bow tie looking things and taped it onto the corner. To install this window flashing, we're starting from the bottom and working our way up, overlapping each piece, so just in case water gets in here, it'll stay off the frame, which is exactly what we want. But once the flashing tape was installed, we dry fit the window just to make sure it fits properly. We then took the window back out and added a bead of window and door caulking, then fit it back into the window opening and nailed it into place. Once we fastened the window to the frame, we added another layer of flashing tape starting from the bottom and worked our way up. Then flapped the house wrap back over the window, then just like that, our first window was installed. Now that our first window is installed, it's time to install the rest of them. We picked up 2 of the windows from Amazon, and the rest of them we picked up from Lowe's, including the door. We spent $1,540 on all the windows and doors, $220 on all the flashing tape and caulking, and $150 on the house wrap, bringing the total to $11,058 so far in this build. I've only installed a couple of windows before in my life, and I was really intimidated before installing these, but I did a ton of research before installing them, and I believe I'm doing it correctly, so if you're a professional window installer, drop a comment and let me know how I did. Once all the windows were installed, it was time to install the door. We cut the house wrap in a similar way, then cut off the bottom 2x4 at the entrance with our good old handsaw. We started from the bottom and added some of the 6-inch flashing tape and went up about 4 inches on both corners. Once the flashing tape was in place, we spread a bead of this window and door caulking on the opening, then brought the door over and fit it into the frame. We made sure it was nice and level before screwing it in, then added shims in between the door frame and the 2x4s of the house, then slowly screwed everything in, making sure there was an even gap around the entire door so it opens and closes properly. We made sure the door opened and closed properly, then went from the outside and put a couple finish nails into the frame. Then just like that, all the windows and doors were completely installed. Now that the windows and doors are all finished up, it's time to install the metal roof. But first we're installing this drip edge around the entire border of the roof framing, which is made to help drip water away from the house. I use my tin snips to cut it and make it look as seamless as possible, but this stuff is really hard to install and I'm nowhere near a professional at doing it, but I'm trying my best and the only way to get good at it is by doing it over and over again, so I'm gonna give it a shot. I found that bending it over a 2x4 gives you a nice clean corner, so that's how I finished up the rest of them. I then added some more of this metal flashing to the corner here, and started from the bottom and stacked them on top of each other till I got to the top. This corner is where both the roof pitches meet, which is really susceptible for leakage, so I made sure to flash it to the best of my ability to make sure it doesn't leak. But then just like that, the drip edge was all finished up and it was time to install the roof. In order to install the roof, it needs to have an underlayment. So we picked up this high temperature ice and water shield. It's non-granulated and specially made for metal roofs, and this sucker took 2 weeks to come in the mail and ran me $250. To install it, I started from the bottom and stuck it onto the 2x4s, then overlapped the top piece so water flows off. Once the ice and water shield was installed, it was time to measure and cut the metal roof to size. We stacked all the metal roof panels for that size and cut them all at the same time to have the exact same measurement. We then measured where all the holes for the screws would be and pre-drilled through all the panels before putting them on the roof. We next brought them onto the roof one by one and only put one screw into each panel just in case we need to shift them around a little bit. Then repeated the same process over and over and overlapped the ribs on top of the other panel so water doesn't leak in. The last piece needed to be cut to size, so to do that we picked up one of these automatic scissor snips that you just connect to your drill. I'll link it in the description below with a bunch of other tools that we used. I'm also going to link these socks that my neighbor Bill put me onto, because while we were working together the topic of sweaty feet somehow got brought up. Since we're always doing construction, and I'll tell you, these things are a freaking game changer, I highly recommend you to get yourself a pair. They guarantee that your feet won't sweat because they're made out of wool. They last like 10 years, and they're made in North Carolina, which is right next to me, which is why I support them. And I know it might sound strange to talk about socks on a building channel, but they're targeted for people who do construction, and they'll make sure you don't get any blisters, so that's why I'm promoting them. I'll put a code with 10% off in the description below. After putting all the roof panels into place, I drove a screw into each hole and made sure to screw it in as straight as possible because there's a gasket that I want to lay as flush as possible. I then sealed the bottom of all the panels with this foam and finished screwing in the roof. Once all the roof panels were installed, I added some more of this foam sealer where the ridge cap will go. And this foam is just made so bugs don't come live inside of your roof. But after installing it, it was time to install the ridge cap. I made sure the ridge cap would hang about an inch over the roof line, then screwed it in on every other rib. I then added some silicone adhesive where both rib caps would meet, and overlaid it about 7 inches to make sure it doesn't leak. But then just like that, the entire roof was all finished up. Now that the roof is done, it's time to install the fascia caps. These are 6-inch galvanized fascia caps that I spray painted black. I basically just use my tin snips and this tin bending tool to make the fascia caps look as nice as possible before installing them. This was a really tedious process to do and it took me about 2.5 days to get it done from start to finish because I really tried to take my time to make them look as nice as possible because this is the finished product. And I used black finish nails to secure them. Now that the fascia caps are all finished up, it's time to install the siding. We're using 4x8 engineered siding boards, cutting them to size and repeating the same process over and over until all of them are installed. All these siding pieces ended up costing me $560. The materials for the roof was $1,190, and all the fascia caps were $210, bringing the total so far to $13,018 so far in this build. Which is starting to get pricey, but what else are you gonna do when the price of everything just keeps going up? I'm building this tiny home to rent it out and try to make some extra money, but one thing I'll never do is rent it out for some of these outrageous prices that I see online. I really want to rent it out for a reasonable price so anyone can rent it and have a getaway spot for a reasonable price. It took us about 6 hours to install all the siding pieces, and we left a few spots without siding because we're going to be installing cladding that'll hold up a different type of siding. Before installing the cladding pieces, we're stapling on some screen so bugs don't get in. Air will come up from the bottom of the cladding pieces, allowing it to vent out moisture, which is why we decided to install the screen. We then nailed down a bunch of pressure treated slats every 16 inches. Once all the slats were installed, we stapled the screen to the slats. Then it was finally time to install the siding, so we pulled out our Jackery Explorer 2000 and connected the miter saw to it, because there's no electricity where we're building this tiny home and we need to power the miter saw. We've been using this Jackery to charge up all of our power tools throughout the entire build, and to charge the Jackery, we're using their 200 watt portable solar panel. You just plug it in and the cord has a USB port where you can charge things directly off the solar panel. This is their 2000 V2 model. It's got a 2200 watt inverter, a flashlight. It's got plenty of outlets, and with its 2,042 watt hours, it can power this angle grinder for up to 4 hours. This power station works great if you do construction, and it's also a lifesaver if the power goes out. It can also run a mini fridge, coffee maker, toaster oven, and a bunch of other stuff. Jackery also offers an app where you can monitor how much battery you have left. They're having a huge Black Friday sale. I'll link them in the description with the coupon code. Before installing the cladding, we added a corner trim piece to cap it off. We then added a slat at the bottom that's a half an inch thick to give all the siding pieces a slant. These are 8-inch wide siding pieces that we picked up from Lowe's. We just cut them to size, then nailed them onto the slats using galvanized finish nails. We overlapped the second piece by 1 inch and only put a couple nails into it, then pulled out our Greco siding jig. These jigs are pretty cool because they space out all your siding pieces so you don't need to measure, making the process nice and quick. But we then repeated the same process over and over until all the siding pieces were installed. Installing the siding pretty much took up the entire day, and we're also going to be installing board and batten on the rest of the house. But since it's going to trim off all the walls, we need to install the soffit first so the trim pieces can butt up against the soffit, giving it a nice finished look. We added some mounting blocks to the rafters so we have a mounting point for the soffit. Started framing out our bird boxes, then came over to the soffit pieces and made some measurements. We drilled a bunch of holes through the soffit pieces to allow air to come in through the soffit and out the roof, allowing it to breathe. We sanded the holes, then added the same color stain to try to make them look as nice as possible. Then flipped them over and stapled screen over all the holes so no bugs will get in. Once we finished drilling all the holes and installing the screen, we brought the soffit pieces onto the house and nailed them into place. We're installing these with 18 gauge finish nails so you can barely see the holes. We finished trimming off our bird boxes and repeated the same process over and over until all the soffit pieces were installed. All the soffit pieces cost me $536, bringing the total to $13,554 so far in this build. Since some of the soffit is going to be exposed, I painted the edges black with exterior paint just to give it a nice sharp look. We painted all the bird boxes black to match the fascia caps, then just like that, the entire soffit was all finished up. Now that the soffit's finished up, we're gonna paint the front door. We wiped it down with acetone to make sure the paint sticks properly, and rolled on a few layers of this brown paint to match the soffit. We let it dry overnight, then brought it back into the house and reinstalled it. Once the door was back on, it was time to install the rest of the siding. We're spacing these board and batten pieces out by 2 feet, and we used our laser level to make sure they're nice and straight. To frame the house, all the batten pieces were 3.5 inches wide, and all the skinnier pieces were 1.5 inches wide, which in my opinion makes everything look nice and uniform. But after 2.5 days of work, the entire siding was all finished up. Once the siding was installed, we wanted to add caulking onto all the cracks and over all the nail holes. This took us another 2 days to do, and it was super time consuming. I hated every second of it. This is going to make it look so much better after we paint, and we've already put in so many weeks of work, we're not going to slack off now. After all the caulking dried, it was finally time to paint. We started by trimming off all the edges with a paintbrush. We're not spraying this tiny home because the siding's going to be 2 different colors, and masking it off is just going to be a ton of work, so we just decided to paint it by hand. We're going for a Southern Charm look, so the board and batten will be beige and the rest of the siding will be green. And now for the final cost of the entire exterior of this build. We had spent $13,554 so far, but after buying all the board and batten pieces, caulking, galvanized nails, and paint, it brought up the price to $14,987. We were expecting to spend around $15,000, so this came extremely close, but we still have a lot to do, which we'll be posting in the next video. While Hope finished doing final touches on the paint, I went ahead and decided to install the doorknob. This type of doorknob has a handle that requires you to drill a hole at the bottom for a mounting point, and we went with black so it can match the soffit. But then just like that, the entire exterior of this tiny home was all finished up. This entire project took us a little over 4 weeks to complete and a countless amount of editing hours. So with that being said, click subscribe.